Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're coming off a reasonably good week, and we're looking forward to spending a little time on the smoker or the grill. I'm Jop, Barbecue Bob, back from the British Virgin Islands and sabbaticals, business trips. Bob's been about a month since you've been on the show, man. Welcome back.
It's nice to be here. I forgot what our producer looked like, Mr. Fongers. Good to see you. You look older. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys. Got a lot of stuff cool to talk about. We're starting into our series where we're going to hit regions. We did, I believe, Mississippi already. And today we're going to go into the North Carolina barbecue. And we're going to touch a little bit on some interviews I picked up down in Joost Van Dyke. First of all, want to welcome our new affiliate in Atlantic City and New Jersey, WOND, Longport Media.
Welcome. Casino Town, baby. We're all over Atlantic City now, and I'd like to welcome everybody there. You're going to get a little taste of the Grilling Guys.
That's right, and I've been talking and working with those folks for years. I was actually on some of their shows a couple years back and met them at Big Paulie's event, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association Annual Convention. I see these guys every year, and all I want to say is thanks for looking out.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome aboard.
So, I don't know what you did while I was away, but I'm pretty sure I saw some pictures of some food on the grill.
Yeah, yep.
Saw a nice loin the other day.
Yeah, I did a little. Actually went to a local brewery, and they had a maple barrel porter, and it was super sweet. Here's what I did.
What brewery was that?
I was at the Gravel Bottom Brewery in Ada, the one that's right by my shop. But the story is this. I made the cardinal sin. You're supposed to get a taste of the new beers. I said, nah, give me a pint. I took the first pull off it, way too sweet, way too thick. I was ready for a thirst-quenching beer, and this was one year was a sipper. So I'm like, oh,
dessert.
Man, so what am I going to do with this? So I had them poured in a little howler for me, and I went home, and I used it as a marinade for a pork loin. And it was maple-y and smoky and a little chocolatey.
A little hoppy.
Yeah, and really, really great marinade. So I left that pork loin, the tenderloin, the little ones, right? I put that in a baggie for about 6 hours. And then pulled
so
it
this
out
is
of there.
A pork tenderloin,
right? The pork tenderloin, you know, about the size of a tennis ball, around a foot long, and took that out. And then I had some Bliss maple bourbon barrel maple syrup, and I just put a little salt and pepper on that thing, put it on the grill, and after about 10 minutes, started basting it with that bourbon barrel maple syrup.
So it wasn't sweet at all, was it?
Right. Yeah. But you know, you got to watch that though, because that high sugar content in that syrup, you can go from sweet to bitter. Like that, and so you got to roll it. Make sure it doesn't overcook on its side.
Yeah, but maybe indirect it.
Right. Yep. And that's where I finished it. Was off the heat in the grill, and it was gas grill this time. So, but anyway, turned out fabulous. Got it to about 145 in the center. I like a little pink in my pork because then the outside's not so overdone. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, that was the flagship. I posted it, I think, on my personal Facebook rather than I hit the wrong button and didn't get it to the Grilling Guys Facebook, but it's out there. So
I spent a couple weeks ago, I was in Vancouver, British Columbia, and right before that, Sacramento. So worked a show in Sacramento again and did a bunch of tri-tips on the grill out there and did just all kinds of stuff. This California Backyards is my big client in California, and they have a huge grill section. 6 stores, now there's going to be 7. And California has a culture for grilling. I mean, it is so nice. I hope we get on one of those stations in Sacramento because that town is built for us, dude. You would be blown away to talk to all these people and what fanatics they are. I mean, I ran into guys that had 3 Weber kettles. All kinds of people had 2 or 3 kettles. and maybe one gas that they never used.
Right.
They're kettle freaks. But then I went up to Vancouver, and Vancouver, British Columbia, is one of the most foodie towns I've ever been in my life.
Were you up by Whistler?
I skied Whistler.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We went to Whistler one day, and I got my butt kicked, and I'm not
well,
a skier.
Well, there are mountains. We have hills here.
Yeah. I had to rest on some of those runs like three times.
Right. Northern Rockies, man. They're big. Yeah.
Whistler's incredible. They've got some cool stuff there. But Vancouver has restaurants that are mind-blowing, and that's a pricey town. That is one expensive place to go, let me tell you. So uh-huh. You better bring your wallet.
Even if the Canadian Exchange, you still
feel it. The Chinese are buying the town up.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah, regular condo, basic flat on a 20, 30 story, $1 million.
Really?
Yeah, for a little 1,200 square foot condo, yeah. Nothing special. Uh-huh. 20-year-old Flintstone building.
Yeah, right.
You know, the square stacked slabs. Just,
right.
But yeah, and then I got home, waited a day, and took my bride on a big jet airplane, and we went to St. Thomas,
right,
where we caught a ferry to Tortola, which enters into the British Virgin Islands, because St. Thomas and St. John's are the U.S. Virgin Islands. So we got to Tortola, had to do customs, and caught another ferry over to Joost van Dijk. The Hollanders call it Joost van Dijk. The locals all call it Joost van Dijk because
okay.
It's J-O-S-T. But it's a dinky island that's, I think, 3 miles long, a mile and a half across.
Wow.
But it's big mountains. So to get to the other side, unless you take a cab, and we hiked a bunch, you're hiking up roads that you can literally reach out and touch the road with your hand as you're walking up the road.
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of snorkeling, just a ton of seafood. I ate fish every day, which I love. I ate my first lionfish, which was no thrill at all.
No?
No thrill. No, no, it's overrated. A lot of, I went snorkeling a bunch and saw flounder.
Did you?
Yeah, swam right over a flounder, which was really cool.
They're the ones that lay on the bottom with only one eye, right?
Yeah.
I thought they were colder water fish.
And it's kind of that's a halibut.
Ah.
And it's kind of on a tentacle. And it's got this eyeball, and it kind of pokes up a little bit. And I could see this eye.
Did you touch it?
Twitching of the eye. He wouldn't let me.
Oh.
Twitching of the eye is what caught my attention. And I saw him tracking me. And I went over and got my wife. And by the time I brought her back, he was gone.
Yeah.
So, but
well, he knew what you were up to.
Yeah, octopus. We're gonna on the fourth segment. We're gonna have a guy named Randolph on the show that I recorded. He owns the market in this town, and he's a cool guy. He's from the islands. He went to college in Florida. He came back home to take over his folk supermarket, and he's made it into something you, Jop, would absolutely love. Great foods, huge liquor supply, a big beer supply.
And yeah, what's wrong with any
just
of that?
Just a nice young guy. And he took me out on his boat, and we pulled traps, and we caught some rockfish and some shellfish. And it was just I had some of the best days I've had in years on that island. And so I'll put my little plug in. The places that we stayed was called Ivan's. It's called Ivan's Stress-Free Resort. And It's a layback blue collar resort. We camped on the ocean.
Right.
It's got a bar and a restaurant and then a community kitchen for you and community showers and all that. And then there's little cabins you can rent too. We tented it. Dude, 10 days, my fee there was $300.
Really? Wow.
10 days on the ocean, waking up to waves pounding. You know, that is just so good for the soul.
Yeah, it is. Well, good, man. I'm glad you're back, but it sounds like you had a wonderful time while you were there, and the resort is aptly named because you have that look of calmness on your face that only from 10 days in a stress-free environment would provide. Coming up next, Sonny's son, Cecil. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than a half a percent of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like...
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grilling Guys on The Grilling Guys Talk Network. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob, and we are thinking about going to Carolina right now in our mind because... We're going to start doing a little Carolina barbecue. What you thinking, Bob?
Yep, it's all about North Carolina today, and it would take us several hours to break down the complexity of North Carolina barbecue, but rather than you and I, Northerners or damn Yankees, trying to explain it, I thought we'd get in touch with Barbecue Center in Lexington, North Carolina, and the proprietor and the owner, Cecil Conrad, is on the grilling line right now. Hello, Cecil.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you. How about you?
Well, I'm doing well myself.
Well, good. Hey, thanks for making time to chat with us today.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about the Barbecue Center in Lexington.
We've been around since 1955. We got our start as the dairy center, which is actually an outlet for the local dairy that was in town, but back then, we had colder winters, and apparently we couldn't sell much ice cream then, so they started putting barbecue shoulders out on a pit behind the building, and from then on, it took off. We moved to our current location in 1961, and built permanent pits, and we've been going strong ever since.
Since 61, so you've been doing this a while.
Just a little while, yes.
Yeah. So is this a family business?
It has been. My uncle started it. My father bought it when he passed in 1966, and my father had it ever since. And he passed away in 2013, and my family is still running it with my mom and my brother.
Hey, Cecil, this is Bob. Thanks for joining us. And I got to tell everybody the cool little backdrop to this. In going back to North Carolina barbecue, a couple years back, I did a tour of North Carolina, Jop, if you remember, when I just went all over the place and hit sure. North Carolina, South Carolina. I actually went to Barbecue Center. And when I was there, this nice man named Sonny Conrad took me around and spent, hours with me, fed me like a king. And I was absolutely endeared to this place by the time I left. He was such a cool guy. So I thought, man, I got to go back. If we're going to do North Carolina barbecue again, we got to go to Barbecue Center. So I looked him up, and the first thing that came up was Sonny's obituary. And I just about cried. I was so sad. I didn't know what to do. I just thought, gosh, I can't, bring them on because it's not. So I thought, well, I'm going to call there, and sure enough, I hook up with Cecil, and he goes, well, it was my dad, and so Cecil and I had a nice talk, and so it's just so nice to have you on the show and talk about this is when they call it Barbecue Center. You've got East and West on the North Carolina barbecue scene. When it comes to the West, Lexington is Barbecue Central, and the Barbecue Center is the center of the center. So this place is so cool. And their old school brick pit, these boys know how to throw down shoulder.
Yeah, and it's been fun to do, keeping up our Lexington reputation that started at the turn of the last century. This fortunately, right after you left, we actually rebuilt our pits and made them a little bit bigger and increased our kitchen size so we can handle more people. And you know, as the crowds come through, we're able to handle it with more shoulders being cooked at the same time.
Well, I can see why you did, because those pits had taken 20 or 30 years of beating by the time I was there, and they were getting all cracked up, and they were tired. You beat on them daily.
Oh, and they've actually even become unsafe. So we probably saved ourselves a lot of heartache by rebuilding them. But we rebuilt them in the exact same way they were. They're just a little bit bigger now. So nothing has changed, which is nice. I mean, you get consistency that you've gotten since we started in that building in 1961.
So Sonny really, I think, did the lion's share of the work. You were probably by his side as a little boy. But tell us all the difference between your barbecue and when you go into Eastern North Carolina, what they do.
I think the first thing you would notice is we cook the shoulders. The eastern part of the state's cooking whole hog for the most part. They do it different ways, sometimes over charcoal, over wood. We try to stick to just cooking over the hickory and oak coals where we are.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, and fair disclosure, the Skylight Inn is going to represent the east when you're done. So they're on the next segment of the show, so we can get both of those perspectives. But you guys are definitely unique.
Yeah, we seem to run in the same circles when they're talking about North Carolina barbecue. So I don't know those guys, but we seem to be talked about together a lot.
Well, it's because, the cream rises to the top, Cecil. That's what it is, brother. But my question to you is, for our listeners up here in the north, what makes the barbecue profile of North Carolina unique?
I just think it's because the east-west debate. We do it different ways. You're not going to convince someone from the eastern part of the state that our way is better. You're not going to convince someone from our part that their way is better. But it's very good. I mean, it's hard to find bad barbecue. And North Carolina, fortunately, does it so well. We just happen to do it differently. They use vinegar-based sauce, which is clear. We use a ketchup and vinegar-based sauce, which is also clear and runny. But they all permeate the meat, instead of just basting on top like you see in other parts of the country. And it gives it this unique flavor.
Yeah, some are tangy, some are sweet. What I noticed about North Carolina in particular is that every county had their thing. And it was kind of like, this is the only way to do it. So right. Didn't matter where you went. Everybody else was wrong. We got it.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of pride.
If you get closer to the South Carolina border and into South Carolina,
right,
you're going to find a mustard-based barbecue.
Right. Thanks to the Germans.
And they think theirs is the best.
Right. I think you're all right.
So
well, we appreciate it.
So Cecil, you say it's a little bit more of a runny sauce than a thick sauce. When are you putting that on? You're not using it as a marinade. Are you basting it, or are you? Tell us about that.
No, it comes on when we serve the plate. The only thing we put on the shoulder when we cook is just a little bit of salt, and we let the hickory and the oak do the rest of the work. And then once we chop it up, slice it, or coarse chop it, however you order it, we then put it on the plate and then pour the dip over it. So we call it dip. And it doesn't lay on the top. It goes all the way through the meat. So if you're ordering a tray or plate, the bottom of the meat gets almost as much of the liquid as the top of the meat does. So it's a continual flavor all the way through your dining experience.
Mm. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's North Carolina barbecue this week, and we are talking with one of the most legendary barbecue centers in all the Carolinas. It's called Barbecue Center in Lexington, North Carolina, and folks around the western part of North Carolina in particular all consider Lexington to be the mecca of barbecue. That's just the way it is if you want good barbecue. And there's like six major shops there at least, right? And a bunch of little ones. I just want to say that the work you guys have done and doing only shoulder kind of sets your – it sort of defines the way you do barbecue, and it's the people just flock in there by the thousands. So, I mean, you've gotten this thing down. You're no rookies at it. But
thank you. You know, and the best part about the shoulder is it's got enough fat on it that it keeps it moist. The ham obviously tends to dry out a little bit more. It's a drier piece of meat. But the shoulder really, the fat of the shoulder just keeps it moist, and you get a great experience with it.
And I don't remember, do you do ribs at all?
No, we do chicken.
Okay.
As well. The same way, all over the pit with our same dip, and it's very good.
Cecil, give me one side, your best-selling side, other than the proteins. What's hot down there?
Oh, it's the slaw. It's a complement to the meat. It's the cabbage, but we don't use mayonnaise. We use the ketchup and vinegar base. It's basically the same recipe as the dip we make. We just pour it over the cabbage, and you have it. It's called red slaw, for lack of a better word.
I remember that. Sonny Conrad, Barbecue Center, Lexington, North Carolina. You got to check them out. Go to Lexington, North Carolina. They're really easy to find. It's the biggest place in town. Thanks so much for joining us on the Grilling Guys Show.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Coming up next, we're going to hit Samuel Jones with some Eastern style at the Skylight Inn in North Carolina. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
There ain't no doubt in no one's mind that love's the finest thing around. Whisper something soft.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
spreading. And everywhere I look, there's a dead end waiting.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you got some great plans to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or smoker and enjoy a little bit of the barbecue lifestyle, create some grill envy in your neighborhood. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, North Carolina's cooking. It's just a big ball of smoke right now because the hogs are running.
Yeah. Some of them have a hard time running because they're missing some shoulders.
Or some of them just run right up and jump on the grill and lay on their back.
Right, exactly.
Now we're going to talk about a little eastern North Carolina that gets geographically complex. But we're going to go down to a place called the Skylight Inn in the eastern half of the state. And the main man there, Samuel Jones, is on the grilling line right now.
How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, good to hear from you, man.
Everything's well in my world.
Isn't that special? Hey, tell us a little bit about what is unique with eastern North Carolina barbecue versus the western side.
Eastern North Carolina is known historically for whole hog being cooked over hardwood coals. Once you move westward, they typically use shoulders. Still, most of the old school places cook it over wood. And that's the main difference, is the cut of meat versus cooking the whole animal. That's the unofficial line of demarcation in the state. I guess we'll call it that.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So go ahead, Bob.
Oh, so you're going to splay that hog, and you're going to basically kind of butterfly it open, right? And
that's
cook
correct.
It cook it with the underside down first, and then finish it off on its back so that the skin crackles?
That is what is distinct to us. Everybody's got their own way, and I'm sure if you lined up, well, people do it all the time at barbecue competitions, but if you line up 20 men, everybody's got their own method to the madness. We start belly down. We'll cook them about 6 hours belly down, flip them, never cresting over that 250, 275 mark, and we'll stretch it on out for about 16 hours is what it takes for us to run our process.
Okay, so what's the seasoning profile that you put on the hog before it's done?
Well, there again, Eastern North Carolina is a vinegar-based sauce is what we're known for. Now, at Skylight and our new restaurant, we're more about the meat than we are the sauce. And so I liken what we put on our meat as more of a dressing than I would a sauce because it's thin. It doesn't mask the flavor of the pork. The whole idea is you spend 16 hours cooking this animal. I prefer you to taste the meat, not the salt.
Amen, brother. I'm with you there.
Samuel,
that
I think what
took 15 minutes.
I think what Jop was asking is as far as seasonings that you put on the meat before you roast it.
Okay. So as far as seasonings go, we put nothing on the actual meat itself prior to cooking it. We don't brine the animal. We do salt the skin lightly when we put it on the pit, and that will aid in drawing some moisture out of the skin while it's being cooked. And then right at the very end, we'll bring the heat up pretty hot to parch the skin, and it'll cause it to crisp, and the salt aids in that process.
So do you score that in a diamond pattern like some folks do?
No, sir.
So you don't score the skin at all?
Nope.
Okay.
So is the skin the cracklings, right? I mean, are you taking that as part of the cook and serving that as a side dish?
Well, what we do is we actually blend it in the meat. And so we'll parch that skin, get it nice and crispy, and then we'll chop it. Everything we do is chop by hand, and we'll chop it very, very fine to where when it's blended in the meat, and if you order a pork sandwich in our place, when you take a bite of it, there's going to be a light crunch in it in places. And what it does, it changes the texture of it, but it also creates a completely different flavor profile.
Mm, you're making my mouth water just talking about it because I love some cracklings. Those we don't get them a lot in many places, so it's something that you guys make it a part of every bite, right?
Yeah, most restaurants, the skin of the animal, if they still cook whole hog, the skin is a byproduct. So it's just something that's discarded, or they use it as a bowl. And so it'll hold meat, and they'll season meat and pull the meat out of that and then simply throw it away.
Yeah, interesting. That's a waste of good flavor.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So if folks around the country are listening, where exactly are you at in North Carolina?
Aiden, North Carolina is about 10 miles south of Greenville, which is home of East Carolina University. We're probably, if you just threw a dart on the map, we're about halfway between Raleigh and the coast.
Okay, and south a little bit of Raleigh.
Yeah, just a touch. We're just south of Greenville, between Greenville and Kinston, off of the NC-11 corridor.
So you can't be an hour from the coast, then?
No, I think we're about an hour 15 either way, Raleigh to the beach.
Cool. Yep. All right. And then what other portions of pork or beef or chicken, what else do you do for proteins?
At Skylight, we do grill chickens as well. And it was something that we've done for years on a catering menu, and then we finally started serving it in a restaurant about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay, you said grill. Now, when you're doing these whole hogs, describe that apparatus that you're smoking on.
Well, there's two different ones. We've always cooked on block pits with steel lids on them. And when I started traveling and doing events around the country, I developed a grill or a cooker, whatever you'd like to call it, where I could duplicate what we do at home anywhere that I get invited to be a part of an event. And we've actually incorporated them into the restaurant now. Our new restaurant, Sam Jones Barbecue up in Greenville, uses completely those apparatuses. And it's a little more efficient, to be perfectly honest with you, than cooking over a block pit because it holds heat a lot better.
That's interesting. And you had that made yourself and you built a trailer under it?
Yeah, they were made right in Wilson, North Carolina.
So the block pits are something really anybody could build in their backyard, right?
Oh, yeah. And I still do it at events. I can give you that formula. That's 75 blocks and about 12 pieces of rebar, and you will be cooking a pig before you know it.
Isn't that something?
There you go. Just like that.
Yep.
Awesome. So the dressing that you said, uniquely to you, again, what are the key ingredients in that?
Salt, pepper, hot sauce, and just a touch of apple cider vinegar.
So it's real thin.
It's very thin, and we do not apply a lot of it. So there's something about the acidity in vinegar that I think complements pork well, the natural flavor of pork, and maybe enhances it more than masking it if it's not over applied.
So when you get this hog done, you've got a lot of work in front of you to pull all the bone structure out of there. Are you separating the meat from different sections of the animal, or are you just putting it all together?
Typically, we'll bring in we're cooking this in an outbuilding. We bring it in the restaurant a half a hog at a time. And we do that because we've built our whole business. This year will be 70 years old. The whole business has been built upon whole hog barbecue. And so what we want is every pork sandwich, every tray or serving that goes out of our store, we want it to be a compilation of every part of that animal.
I'm so hungry right now. I can't stand even thinking about it. So in your roasters, really, a lot of your fat, what would be a problem in my smoker, I drain it off. I mean, I have a grease trap and all this. With a pit like you're doing, that stuff burns up, and that creates more of the smoke.
Yeah, well, those renderings are dropping down onto the coals, which is creating its own smoke in addition to the wood coals that we're cooking with.
Well, Samuel, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate your input and imparting all your knowledge on us and our listeners. So you know what? I know I'm going to go home and fire up the barbecue, and we're going to try to make us some Carolina barbecue this weekend because, boy, I'm learning a lot, and you guys are it sounds tasty. Like Bob said, I am hungry.
If you need some technical support, just dial me in.
All right, brother. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Samuel.
All right. Yes,
that Samuel Jones Skylight Inn, and there's two locations. They are very highly ranked at TripAdvisor, and I use sometimes if I haven't been to a place, I count on TripAdvisor because I review a lot of food myself there. And those people are pretty good. So
70
I'm sure
years.
These guys are, yeah.
They're doing something right.
Yeah.
I don't think we got all his secrets.
He didn't sound too iffy either.
That's exactly right. Hey, coming up next, we're going to recap some of Barbecue Bob's travels at the British Virgin Islands. Stick with us. We'll be back.
In my mind, got a devil's haircut. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This is Jop from The Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out of bed or in your backyard firing up a grill or a smoker or maybe even a deep fryer because you know what? It's the weekend. Get out and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. And Barbecue Bob is back after 3 weeks of work and play. And the last part of that was spent in the British Virgin Islands, a place called Yost Van Dyke. And
see, you're already talking like a Hollander.
Well, you it's, just
they call it Jost.
Well, I jest, and I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, I'm sure you had some great food and drink down there, and we really haven't taken a dive into that yet.
No,
so let's do that.
Let's do that. And once again, I want to send a big shout out and a welcome to WOND, the super talker from New Jersey. Welcome the Longport media company to the Grillin' Guys network affiliates.
Atlantic City, baby.
Happy to have the New Jersey boys around because they've done a lot for us in the past.
Big Paul, he's been good to us.
Via Big Paul Rotella. So let's play a little interview that I've got here. It's called Rudy's Market in the center of the town in the Great Bay. Randolph is the son. He's taken over mom and dad's market. He's turning it into the place that the tourists love. Because it was a little bitty market, and it's turning into really quite something. So this is Randolph, super good guy. I talk to him every day for 10 days. We got to be great friends. Let's listen in.
So, Randolph, you turned me on to something really cool in terms of making this painkiller proper, and you actually own a bar right in front of your supermarket, so that's pretty unique. And you went up and you grabbed a bottle of some awesome rum. Tell me about that.
Well, the rum name is Brugal. It's one of the fastest upcoming rum in the Virgin Islands. It's made in Santo Domingo. It's replacing the Cruzan and the Pulsar's rum in the bars. It's a very smooth rum, has a little bite to it, but it's perfect to use for painkillers, pina coladas, and even mixed drinks with Coke or fruit punch.
It is fantastic. I'm sipping on it right now. That's actually a sipping rum. It's so good tasting. You can literally just drink it on the rocks or straight up as a shot.
That's correct, Bob.
So the curry, I notice a lot of curry in the food around here. Tell me how all that works out.
Well, the curry is, of course, a staple seasoning in the Virgin Islands. We use it in chicken, curry goat, and also we use it in roti. Roti is something like pot pie in the U.S. It's with wraps, vegetables. You can use beef, chicken. It's a very good, delicious dish down here.
And you said goat also is curry.
Yes, you can use curry goat. You can use curry in goat. That is a very staple food down here.
So is the roti, is that a curry-flavored meat in the roti?
Yes, it is.
So it's kind of like a pasty.
Yes.
Jop, no gravy on this one. So again, this is Barbecue Bob. I am down in Joost Van Dyke. I'm at Rudy's Marketplace. He's kind of like the mayor of the island, I would say, because everybody comes here. He's shaking his head no, but he's a lovable soul. He comes from Florida, moved back home to work in his parents' business here, and it's just a fantastic market. Everything you need for a stress-free life. Randolph, thanks so much for joining the Grilling Guys today.
Thank you, Bob, and I really appreciate it.
Back to you, Jop.
So Bob Randolph sounds like he might be the mayor of the city, man. He's got control of everything, and people are coming and asking him stuff while you're doing the interview.
I couldn't even interview him. Right. It was ridiculous, but the guy's busy. He actually took me out on his boat. He's got a center console.
Like a whaler or something?
Yeah, you know, something like a Cobia or something, 26-foot with a couple outboards on it, and we ran out into... Our resort was on something they call White's Bay or White Bay. And that's where the Soggy Dollar and all these famous bars are. Ivan's Resort is on the other end of it. So we're in this big bay. His traps, he had a bunch of fish cages and traps set for lobster and all these things.
So they bait these things with some sort of...
They don't bait them at all. He sets these cages in the ocean with bleach bottles and milk bottles on them and just comes back in a day or two and there's fish swimming around in them.
Really?
Because they're just curious. They want to take a swim and they end up in prison.
And then on a plate.
So, yeah. So he took me out in his 26-foot center console and I stood up on the bow and pulled the cages in and he just went place to place and... We came back with a bunch of fish.
So he has, so he's like not a commercial fisherman, really.
No,
he sells us at his.
That's
market.
Just nope. No, that was just for his family.
Oh,
he's just a dad trying to make a living.
Okay,
so he's got a couple rental boats. He's got a little supermarket. You know, that's what you do there. The people that are industrious in the BVI, they have three businesses.
I see.
And the people that really don't care, they just work for somebody, and they're. They're never going to have any money, but the industrious guys are actually kind of building an economy down there. It's cool to watch because the guys that are busy are incredibly busy.
This Joost Van Dyke that you were on, you said it was a relatively small island.
Very small.
So how many people live there?
300.
300 people live there.
Yep.
So this thing's like, for a Michigander, it's like Mackinac Island or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great analogy. And, and if you're on the White Beach or White Bay where we were, when you look straight across, you're seeing St. Thomas.
Okay.
It's about 10 miles. You can see all of St. Thomas. At night, St. Thomas is all lit up. We got like three lights on our island.
Yeah, right.
And one of them was my lantern.
So people go to town, so to speak, go across to St. Thomas.
You just walk. No, well, I suppose you go to Tortola. It's a little bit closer because you can also see Tortola. But so anyway, this beach has a very famous bar called the Soggy Dollar, and it's called the Soggy Dollar because these ships come in, cruise ships dock, and they send dinghies of people in. This stretch of beach is world-renowned. I mean, it's just shop after shop, bars, restaurants, and there's like 10 or 12 of them, and they're really nothing more than shacks, most of them. But the people out front are clad in bathing suits, thongs, and you'd love
not
the thong
on their feet.
You'd love all the European guys in their thongs. Trust me.
There's a man law coming about that.
I think it's already written.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's so unique because nobody lives there, but these boatloads of people come in, and then there's all kinds of people leasing catamarans for a week from Tortola or St. Thomas, and these folks they spend $6,000 to $8,000 for a week, and you've got a nice catamaran sail. They're really powered. I didn't see a sail up on one of them. But so it'll sleep like eight people and a heck of a nice way to see the Caribbean. There's another great vacation idea. So they just pull up out front. The dinghies are all over the beach and people are having a ball on this mile wide stretch of beach.
Right.
So the Soggy Dollar is named that because when you get in to pay for your drink, your coins and your dollar bills are all wet because you had to wade in.
I see. You only bring the boat, the dinghies in so far.
That's right.
You moor them and,
that's
and,
right.
and wade the rest of the way.
So they're famous for the painkiller. That Brugal rum that Randolph was talking about makes a painkiller. And a painkiller is a lot like a pina colada, but they also add orange juice, and then they put it over rocks. They shake it and put it over rocks. Every bar there grinds fresh nutmeg to put on top of their drink.
What is what's the draw with that?
It's cool. It's dude, you should know better than anybody. It's a
changes
profile.
The flavor profile.
It's a profile. It's
but just, they are okay. Now I'm from Michigan, right? I don't know what a nutmeg looks like.
I brought some back.
Did you?
I'll give you one. I brought you some soup mix too that I can't wait to give you. I'm sorry that I didn't bring it today.
Soup mix?
Yeah, it's a joke. It's inside there. But another big drink that they have is rum punch. And this Brugal has replaced Pusser's, which is kind of the big rum for the pricey rum. Pusser's, well, now Brugal is taking over the pricey rum market, and it's $2 less a bottle, right? The painkiller is a big deal. Another drink that is huge down there is the Bushwhacker.
The Bushwhacker?
Yeah. The Bushwhacker's
maybe
really
you
good
had
too.
A couple of those, and that's why you can't remember what's quite in them.
Dude, I tell you, every day by a certain point in time during the day, you were going to try something like
nap
that.
Nap time? Is that what you were trying every afternoon?
I had some quality naps. Maureen and I actually brought our hammocks. So we were napping on the beach every day.
BYOH. All right, man. That's
yeah,
cool.
Well, we were camping under palm trees.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Coming up next, we might take a little bit of dive back into North Carolina. We might not. I might want to talk about some more of this fish that Barbecue Bob ate when he was down in the British Virgin Islands. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
All right, so this man law was already sneak previewed by Job. Friends don't let friends wear Speedos, ever. Case closed. Dude, I was sitting at the Soggy Dollar, and this my wife's rolling her eyes, and I look over, and there's a couple of guys, very buff, in Speedos. And then I look at the whole table, and it's a whole table full of guys in Speedos. And they were incredibly pretty guys.
They did change the name of the place to the Soggy Sack.
Oh no! Don't even go there. Anyway, so there's a stigma that goes along with those things. I'll do real briefly a North Carolina
stigma.
Sauce.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah. I'll put this North Carolina sauce on the website, but it's basically apple cider vinegar, dark brown sugar, ketchup, 100% Pain by Original One. A teaspoon of red pepper flakes, some coarsely ground black pepper, and some sea salt. It's real simple, but I'll post it on the website. This is one I made a couple years back after visiting down there and getting a recipe from a guy out in Littleton who actually used electric roasters to do his shoulder, and it's called Grandpa's Place, and he has them lined up, and they're an electric stinking roaster.
Wow. Yeah. Pot roast.
Just shoulder.
A la hog.
Just shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice guy, though.
Well, I would tell everybody that that 100% Pain ingredient in there, just be careful of that because it is aptly named. It will light you on fire twice.
Not
when you just eat it, but on the second time,
I brought
too.
Some cool sauces back from the Caribbean. They have another. They've got one with like a curry profile to it. Curry's big down there. So we're going to play an interview next week if I can figure out how to get this file off my phone. The lady's name is Eurynthia. She's a sweet, sweet little local lady, you know, probably 70 years old, works her keister off every day. And they make these things called roti. And they have these giant tortilla shells that actually are flour and chickpea, so it changes the texture a little bit. Mm-hmm. I found them.
That's hummus, right? Chickpeas
yeah,
is what hummus is made of.
Found it phenomenally good. But the roti is basically just meat, potatoes, and a curry sauce or a jerk sauce or something like that. And then it's wrapped up in this, and then they slightly grill it. It's just their local thing.
Are the ingredients cooked before they're put in there?
Yeah, I do believe.
Okay.
I do believe.
So they're just bringing it all together.
And I think they kind of throw it on the griddle to just kind of crisp up the shell
a
little
bit. That'll be interesting. I'll look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, and they have another thing that they call patties. And I have a cool little video I put on Facebook of Joanne. She owns a little shop called Sugar and Spice. And this place is about 150 degrees inside. She's in there every day making these patties, and it's a wonderful dough. And she rolls them out, and then she puts in several different types of fillings. But the one I had repeatedly was beef, and it had kind of a jerk profile maybe, or it was a spicy beef. And then she seams it together. It looks just like a pasty, except she fries it.
Oh.
I mean, perfectly fries it. Maureen went ape poop over the thing.
Wow.
Maureen loves crust.
Sure.
And so, oh my gosh. So we had him on break. She's right across from the ferry. So the day we left, I made sure to order a few. And we took three of them on the ferry to Tortola on our way home. And it was a moaning session. It was like just about a fight to make sure we each got one and a half
right.
of those patties.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, so, Barbecue Bob, it's great to have you back in the chair. You're relaxed and ready to go. Hey, I'm going to do a little plug for my other business, Home Life Kitchen and Bath. We're going to be down at the Home Show, which is in West Michigan, Thursday through Sunday next week, the 2nd through the 5th of March. I'll be exhibiting there with the West Michigan Landscape Association. I'm going to have a full outdoor kitchen, grills, smokers, bar set up, the whole deal. So swing by the Home and Garden Show, and if you say you heard it on the Grilling Guys, I'll buy you a drink. You've been listening to Grilling Guys. We really appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We'll be talking with you next week.